sing. All stars shining down on me. I wonder, baby, 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 please, to find the same old stars shining down on me.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome back to another edition of the Power Hour here at radio.dominican.edu. This is DJ Sam I Am in the studio with Nooch. Nooch, how you doing, man?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Just, you know, another Monday, getting through another Monday, trying to recover from the weekend. Actually, my weekend was pretty mellow. Went home this weekend.
Okay.
Spent some quality family time.
Nice. How's your mom?
My mom's doing all right. She's doing very well, actually.
I miss seeing her at games, you know?
Yeah, it's you know, season's over, so don't get her to see you as much, which makes me super sad, you know, yeah, deep down.
For sure.
Well, on tonight's show, give you a little recap of tonight's show, or a little preview, sorry. Of course, first thing we always talk about is those beautiful, beautiful SF Niners.
Niners.
Love the Niners. Gotta love the Niners. Then we also will be talking about an interesting decision that the Atlanta Falcons coach made, Mike Smith. We'll get into that a little bit later. After that, we'll get into the Lions and how their bad boy look kind of turned into a little sissy look. We'll get into that, of course. And then lastly, but certainly not least, we will get into the one potential team that could land Randy Moss this year. So stick around, stay tuned. Another jam-packed episode of the Power Hour here at radio.dominican.edu. We'll be back in just a split second. nice slow jam to start in the Power Hour here at radio.dominican.edu. Welcome back. You are listening to DJ Sam I Am and Nooch here in the studio. All alone in the studio, huh, Nooch?
All alone tonight. No one else said they want to show up tonight. So, yeah, dude, it's all ours.
Yeah, well, it feels good to be alone. It feels good to be alone.
Feels good.
All right, anyway, we will get into my boys, the San Francisco 49ers.
Our boys. Niners.
And, of course, now we can just finally shut those East Coast bias announcers on SportsCenter, on all those ESPN networks.
Dude, Joe Buck, man.
Seriously.
I hate Joe Buck so much. It's unbelievable.
It really needs to come down to West Coast is better than the East Coast by far. Right? Am I right or am I right?
I mean, obviously, I think you're right, but, you know, it's a little bias coming here, but, you know.
Yeah, just a little bias. But anyway, so Harbaugh's NFC West leading Niners.
Harbaugh, dude. You keep saying Bog. You don't pronounce the H.
Harbaugh.
Or the G at the end. Come on,
Harbaugh.
What kind of Niner fan
you
are
understand
you?
What I'm saying when,
yeah,
when it comes out of my
mouth.
Let's
get it right, all right.
Okay. Harbaugh.
There you go.
Jim Harbaugh.
Sam.
Okay, so Jim Harbaugh. Harbaugh.
Vaya.
Anyway, so seventh straight victory. That's their best start since 1997. And it matched the defending Super Bowl champion Green Bay Packers for the most wins in the NFL this year. Now, of course, the Packers are playing tonight
whooping
on the Minnesota Vikings. San Francisco also leads New Orleans, who are 7-3 for playoff positioning in the NFC. It just feels good to be on top.
Great to be on top.
Not completely on top, but definitely up there. We're on top.
We're on top.
We're at
second best team in the NFL.
That's true.
Second best record in the NFL.
In the entire NFL.
Not even NFC, NFL.
That is ridiculous.
Better than every team in the NFC or AFC.
I mean, ugh. Love it.
Love it.
So this game was a little rematch of the 49ers. When they rallied from a 24-point deficit to the Giants, and they won 39-38. I don't know if you remember that game. It was the NFC wild card game in 2003.
I actually do remember that game, and I'm almost certain that was Jeff Garcia.
Uh-huh.
And I'm pretty sure we won on a field goal.
Yeah, yeah. It was a field goal.
It was like a last-second field goal or something like that, right?
Yeah, we won 38.
There was some controversy in that game. It was like a fumble or a – I feel like there was something like that.
I forget. Wait. Refreshment. Was that the game that Terrell Owens cried, or was this a different game? Because I was thinking about the game, and I was like, is this the game where Terrell Owens made that catch, got rocked in the end zone, and then started crying after the game?
I couldn't say for sure, but I do remember that game, though.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it's a little preview, and that was actually the last time San Francisco made it to the playoffs.
That was.
So yeah. It's a little rematch. It was good to...
God, 2003.
Feels so long ago, doesn't it?
It was. Like 8 years ago.
It's crazy. And we're finally good again. I mean, 8 years of just shitty play. Like, God. It's just horrible.
8 years.
Ugh. Well, 8 wins is the total wins the Niners have.
It's hard being a Bay Area sports fan, but, you know, it's getting better.
It is. It's getting a lot better.
We're on the rise. We're on the rise again.
It's getting a whole lot better. The Niners have a commanding 5-game cushion in the division. And this was the sweetest part about the game. On Sunday, the sweetest part was we won without Frank Gore.
We did win without Frank Gore.
So not only did we prove to these announcers, these East Coast bias people.
Joe Buck.
I'm
going after Joe Buck tonight.
Get him.
Know that.
Get him. We're getting him. Watch yourself, Joe Buck. Anyway, we did it without Frank Gore. So we're telling the world that, yeah, we can beat a 6-3 really good New York Giants squad. And we could do it without Frank Gore. We could do it with Alex Smith at the quarterback.
Well, that's the thing that really stood out to me about yesterday, is that everyone, even like dudes, Comcast Sportsnet, Matt Maiocco, dudes like that, you know, who are Niner guys, were saying, you know, I don't think that Alex Smith can, you know, they're talking about all yesterday, oh, he manages games, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And that was his knock, is like, yeah, yeah, he can win. He can win games when Gore's running for 130 with, you know, a couple touches or whatever, and our running game's going good. But can he win when someone shuts down the running game, you know?
Exactly.
And that's the Giants. That's the one thing the Giants did better than anyone else that the Niners has played, is that they forced Alex Smith to beat him, and he did.
And that
he did. We came out and we threw the ball. How many? He threw the ball 30 times.
Yeah.
That's got to be the most all year.
Around 30 times. Yeah.
It's got to be the most all year.
Ugh, I love it.
He carried. I mean, he literally. Giants did what they wanted to do. They were successful in shutting down the run, you know, which is, I give them props for that. But man, you got to give credit to Alex Smith. He stepped up.
And it, he was doing well all year. It was just that he wasn't getting those big fantasy type numbers, those Aaron Rodgers numbers, those Tom Brady numbers. He wasn't getting that. But in our San Francisco 49er offense, we don't need those numbers.
We don't need those numbers. So, and he doesn't turn the ball over. That's the one thing. That's how you win football games in the NFL. I don't know if I've been watching the NFL, you know, for my whole life. And that's the one thing that, like, you know, is when you really look at it, if you don't turn over the football, you can win games. If you turn over the football, you're going to lose games.
Exactly.
And we had one turnover yesterday on a not even a bad, it was a great throw by Smith. Just hit Ginn in the hands, you know, and popped up and got a pick. But that's not his fault, you know.
It didn't
hit him in the helmet.
Hit him right in the face. I know. Come on, Ginn. Ugh. Ginn.
Turnover ratio. And the, crucial.
The only reason why I see Alex Smith having all this success is this is the first time since Alex Smith got drafted that a coach has basically put him under his wing and basically put confidence in him, saying, you're our guy regardless. We're going to do it with you, and we have confidence that you can do it.
Yeah.
And that's the most important part, because you can tell when Alex Smith is in the pocket.
Oh, he's got confidence.
And he's moving around the pocket, evading pass rushers. He has his old Utah days back, and it's fun. And it's fun to see.
Smith is a smart guy, you know?
Yeah.
He's a smart quarterback. It's just that when you throw him into the fire and, like, it's just there's so much scrutiny in these previous years that, you know, it's hard for anyone to overcome that, you know? So I give him props for wanting to stick around for the most part, because he could have left. He's a free agent, you know?
Exactly.
And so
exactly.
I give him props for, you know, saying, yeah, I think I can still got it, you know? And he does. He still got it.
You know, so he could have.
He was the first pick in the draft. There's obviously potential there, you know? He's obviously could be good, and he's finally starting to show that.
He has the talent. He just needed the guidance. He needed the mentoring kind of.
He needed a good coach, which finally he got.
Jim Harbaugh.
Harbaugh is God.
and it's just good, because the reason why Alex Smith is doing so well is also because, like I said, when he's in the pocket, now he actually has a pocket to throw in.
Yeah, no, he does. I know. And our offensive line is fantastic.
We are doing it. It's night and day from last year to this year.
Yeah.
Because now
with the same group, pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously you get Davis and you get Ayupati, who gets another year on it. Ayupati, by the way, is freaking stud, man.
Me and my brother were just raving about him yesterday. We're just like, he is a beast.
He is a man. He's freaking dominant.
I love
man.
Him. And he's from Iowa, isn't he? Didn't he go to Iowa or
Idaho?
You know, man, Idaho. No. The key to, though, yeah, the pocket that he has to throw in now, because previous years he had no time to scan the field, maybe move around, let his receivers move around, get open, and now he's a fast mother trucker.
Yeah,
he can run. He's
elusive. Get after a little bit, definitely.
So I just love how our offensive line is helping Alex Smith. And Alex Smith is helping us also.
But this one thing also is that you say that there's a better pocket, which there no question is, you know. Mm-hmm. But also, when the pocket starts to break down, you know, Smith stays in there, steps up, and makes a pass, you know.
Exactly.
Where in previous years, he just boom, he'd book it and try to get out of there, you know.
Uh-huh.
And now he has confidence to stay in the pocket, you know, know that his offensive line is going to give him that extra second to get that pass off, which he has been doing. He's been staying in the pocket, which I give him props for, because when you got big old dudes, like, you know, coming at you like that, it's got to be a little terrifying.
I'm,
you know, what
I'm
saying?
All,
yeah, Justin Tuck, and those guys coming at you, man. Jeez.
Some OCU manure. Yeah, he has a lot more confidence, like you said, just being able to make those throws downfield, and he's trusting his receivers too.
Yeah, I know
he's trusting Braylon Edwards.
That's a good point, because that on that pick he threw it again, you know, that ball him in the face and whatever he got mm-hmm. picked. Next possession, his first throw is again on the yep. outside, and Ginn makes a catch.
And Ginn, and oh my God, yeah, that sends so many good signals
Definitely.
To the whole offense.
Definitely.
Offensive group saying he's going to put it, he's going to call your number regardless.
Yeah. Oh,
regardless.
Yeah.
So you better
that's
be
just,
ready.
That's just
awesome.
The details, the little details about the Niners that I'm loving. I'm all about the details, you know, mm-hmm. little things, and
exactly.
I'm loving it. We're doing all the little things right.
And me, my dad and I, we talked about another thing also about the game and about the passing game that we had, because the passing game was just tremendous, and that's something that the
yesterday.
Niners normally don't have. So what we saw was, okay, coming into this game, preparing for this Sunday matchup between the New York Giants at home, you know Jim Harbaugh is...
You really want to say Harbaugh.
Yeah, I was really wanting to do it. He was preparing for the game, getting a game plan ready. He looks at the New York Giants defense. They were 31st in pass defense.
Yep.
31st. So what is our offense supposed to be based on during that game? Our passing game. And look, we win. We score 27 points. Whereas in previous years,
yeah.
we have Mike Singletary, who is just stubborn as hell.
Exactly.
And all he's going to
exactly.
say.
Exactly. No, we're going to run the ball.
Oh,
we're a running football team. We're going to run the ball.
We're a smash mouth football team. Yeah, it's better coaching, game planning for the game, saying this is the weakness for the opposing team, and we're going to
exploit it.
We're going to exploit it.
I was going to say that as well.
Yeah. No, it's
flown. Yeah. Flowing right now.
Great minds think alike, man.
Camaraderie right here.
Yeah, that ESP, bro. So I want to talk to you about the one specific play of the game that I enjoyed most certainly.
Let's start. Wait, before you say it, and I haven't looked at the script, I don't know what you're probably looking at.
Okay.
But
okay.
I'm going to take a guess.
Okay. Let's hear it.
Was it offensive or defensive?
Okay, it was offensive.
Offensive.
I want to give you a hint here. Okay.
Okay,
I'm gonna sing you a song. Okay, and I'm gonna see if you can you can get it right.
All right.
So, soldier boy up in this hoe, why me crank it, why me roll, why me crank that soldier boy, Superman that peep. Now why me you? Now do you remember the play? Do you know what
was that?
That
was a touchdown celebration, obviously.
No, it was just, you know, I'm talking about Vernon Davis's Superman leap into the end zone.
I got you. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. The one where he jumps straight up.
I love how he's getting to the 15. He's
yeah.
sprinting at the 10, and then as soon as he hits the 5, he starts doing these little stutter steps,
yeah.
stutter steps, and then just launches from the 3,
yeah.
collides into a guy, falls in the end zone for.
See, I thought you were going for. Because my favorite play of the day was probably after we get the pick, the second pick.
Okay, Carlos Rogers
yeah. second interception. First play,
Kendall Hunter
touch. That was a game changer right there.
Yeah, oh.
Game changer.
Oh,
dude. Turnovers.
God.
Get the turnover,
Definitely.
Touchdown right off the bat.
Definitely.
That was probably my favorite play. But no, Vernon's touchdown. And that was just a good play call by the Niners. You know, get Vernon Davis coming across in the flat. Get him the ball. Let him run. He's
exactly.
he's huge.
Exactly.
Vernon is such a mismatch for a defensive play. I mean,
and
for the defense, it's unreal.
He's so big and so fast too. When he gets in the open space, like he's gone. And yeah. and
he'll
no,
burn you and he'll break tackle.
Exactly. And once he's going to full speed, he's not going down by one person. You're gonna need some Haloti Ngata's in there to stop him.
Seriously.
Now, what was I gonna say? Oh, speaking of play call. My favorite play call of the game was that 2-point conversion we got.
That was a good. Oh.
The Michael Crabtree in motion to the
yep.
right and that
yep.
kind of oh.
That was a great play. That was a great play.
Ran to perfection.
I know, it really was though.
Like it looks like New England Patriots stuff. It looks like Green Bay Packers stuff. This is we're talking about the 49ers.
This is
right
how you
now.
Play football.
Exactly.
This is how football's supposed to be played.
This is football, and
it's
fun.
Beautiful. The thing of beauty that's going down in the Bay Area, on the good side of the Bay.
Exactly. On the good side. And now, a person.
Sorry, Oakland Raider fans. I got respect too. So,
Oakland Raider fans, stop crying. Hey, Oakland Raider fans. Anyway, biggest free agent acquisition of the offseason, and he has been one of the biggest performers of the year.
Rodgers.
And we're talking. He's big. Bigger.
Who are you talking
though.
About?
Yeah, you don't even know who I'm talking about, do you?
Biggest offseason.
See?
Only other one I can think about is Braylon Edwards.
Nah, he hasn't been doing much. Okay, this one's gonna bug you. Okay.
Wait. Are you talking Andy or kicker? is this his first year?
Yeah.
I thought we picked him up like halfway through last year or something like that.
No. I don't think so. No, we picked him up this year. This was his first year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. No, he's been huge. So. Yeah.
Oh my God.
David Akers. That's something.
David Akers. He's on my fantasy team. Oh my God!
He's probably killing it.
Oh, consistently. Dude, gives me 15 points every week. It's like, man, like you're just consistently making me win. Unfortunately, I keep losing. I don't know how. But I mean, David Akers just come clutch. It's good because he's automatic from every single distance.
Oh yeah.
I mean, he's perfect from plus 50 plus, and he's perfect from mid range. He's of course perfect from inside the 30, because every professional kicker should be inside the 30.
Let's hope so.
I mean, if you're not, then
no. But from 50 or 50 over, every time he steps on the field, I'm thinking, all right, 3 points, here we go. You know,
mm-hmm.
Like every single time.
Yeah. No, it's amazing how automatic he is, and it's just every single time he doesn't like squeak it by like the right post. It's,
no way. It's
right
center.
Down the middle,
dead
straight every time.
I know.
Akers, yesterday he kicked his first field goals were 36. He had a 52, a 39, and then a 28 yarder. And it's great because the 49ers offense. We do struggle on our red zone on our red zone offense sometimes, and we do struggle putting the ball in at times. And it's just a great thing to have for David Akers to just know that, hey, he's automatic. We got a scapegoat. He's gonna get us our points regardless.
That is a good point. But I saw a stat yesterday, and I don't remember the exact number,
okay.
But this was something like. In the red zone, in his career, Alex Smith's career, he's like thrown like 30 touchdowns and one interception. In the red zone, in his career,
30 touchdowowns.
It's something like when I saw it, I was like, "There's no way that's right."
Oh my God!
But it must have been. They wouldn't have showed it if it wasn't right.
Yeah, that is amazing.
Yeah, I'm gonna look that up. But I swear I saw something like that yesterday.
That's crazy. That is crazy. Well, we will. Get into some more San Francisco 49er talks. We'll take a little break here. Nice little breather. Get some water. Stay tuned for another section of the Power Hour here at radio.dominican.edu. Again, this is DJ Sam. I am in Nooch.
What's up?
We'll be back in a jiffy.
You get bored, it is told, it is silly, it is old, but Jesus will never let me down, under the old Christmas tree, died in 1943, but Jesus.
wants to sum up. So all y'all rappers on the come up, put your gun up, cause we gon' bring along the city. Classify your act, you either rap or you sing along with 50. Before this gift I abandoned, now I crash plan spits worse than the Twin Towers hitting the land strip. So we can strap a clip, but we wear antagonists, cause other cliques tried attacking this and ain't been rapping since. We gon' murder the game quick, so fuck y'all who listen to T-Pain and Hurricane Chris. Hey baby, I ain't gon' buy you a drink, but I promise dick, you a bust down bitch, it's anonymous. Two of the livest, who could deny this? Ain't wanna be cocky, all I'm trying to imply is we some of the illest to rock the flow. Shit, my freestyle at your record release party is stopping your show.
Hey, hey, and how that be go? Could you ask for anonymous getting paper like the pockets of people with passports, and wait till we fast forward, ask for the way we cop cars, man, address us as a task force, and you can get it if you ask for.
Breaking news at the bottom of the hour. New violence broke out in southern Syria Monday, with at least 16 civilians and 19 troops reported killed in separate clashes, while the government insisted the country would not be the next domino to fall in Middle East turmoil. The Britain-based Syrian Observatory for Human Rights reported the civilians were killed by security forces at checkpoints across the flashpoint southern province of Dara, where anti-government protests first erupted last March. It also said in a separate statement that at least 19 soldiers and members of the security forces were killed in clashes with suspected army defectors.
Stag from a $5 crook to $100,000 Mac. Come on, baby, need my pockets fat like chicks on MySpace with only pics of their face. We get down like there's nothing beneath us. Guns to your Honda, lightsabers like General Grievous. To get that bread, man, I crank my neck, but I ain't trying to lose my head like Django Fett, you know?
Adverbs and synonyms, catch adrenaline. Rip clicks, I'm quick to sin again. Too much penicillin got me chewing up and spitting them. Feeling that starts killing and cypress the biters, writers, and bystanding civilians. Ain't nobody realer than, man, I'd rather work this 9 to 5 than rap fake for some millions. It's been enough clowns, it's time for us now. So put your hands up high and put the clocks down.
Y'all making it too easy, man. I mean, we trying to work hard, but y'all making it too easy. Concept, Marshall said, man,
anonymous.
And welcome back to the Power Hour here at radio.dominican.edu. This is DJ Sam I Am and Nooch. Thank you for that entrance, Nooch.
Thank you.
Very beautiful.
That's what I'm here for.
I mean, my name just sounds so good with bursting bombs in the background.
It really does. That's
That was really cute. All right. Anyway. Cute. Did you hear that? I said it was cute.
Okay. I decided anyway, not to comment.
I just want to make sure you heard me. That's all.
I heard you.
So back to some Niner talk, because you know that I just love talking about our Niners.
Our Niners.
Our Niners. Apologize.
Been a fan longer than you have, dude. So.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's right. I said it.
Okay.
Got a few years on you.
Yeah, a few. Unfortunately.
Touche. Well,
let's go back to let's start talking about how unbelievably good and sexy the 49ers defense is.
I mean, too sexy. Too
sexy for Candlestick. Too sexy for the field.
No, they are just
unbelievable. Too sexy. Fresh to death.
Unbelievable.
I love it. I mean, you can tell that every week they just keep improving to everyone around the league how solid they are.
We are legit.
31 straight games without 100 yard.
Si, senor.
Just keep going. I mean,
yeah.
You can't run on us ever. You just can't.
You can try to, but it's not going to happen.
It's not going
to
work.
You got Ray McDonald blocking the holes. Justin Smith, who's probably one of my favorite Niners.
Oh.
Dude's an animal. He's got the Anheuser-Busch tattooed on his arm. How freaking gangster is that? Are you kidding me? Guy's got the Anheuser-Busch tattooed, the little eagle or whatever, tatted on his arm.
Along
with another little, you know, the band one.
The tribal.
Not even tribal. It's like barbed wire.
Yeah,
you know?
Okay.
Like,
it's a barbed wire.
It's a barbed wire. Like, how,
straight from jail.
God, like, what a badass, dude.
He actually ended the game yesterday with his big bear paw and just swatted it out of the air.
Big play.
That was awesome.
Big play.
And if you did take note of that play and saw this a couple replays, it was definitely going to be pass interference.
Yeah.
Patrick Willis, if you did not see
it,
was
all over him.
Patrick Willis literally picked up the guy and just like carried him and then threw him back to the ground. Eli Manning was trying to throw it to him. If it got to him, it would have been pass interference,
probably
another first down. But Justin Smith
coming up huge, dude.
Just
huge play.
It.
So many big plays yesterday.
Dwight Howard, that ball just.
He did.
Wah-bah.
He did.
And it was great during the game. So, for example, like that last drive, it just seemed like the Niners defense would bend, and they just kept bending and bending. Yeah, they'd give up some plays. Yeah, they'd give up some third down, but you just saw how confident they were. And even as they were getting closer and closer to our end zone, I wasn't tripping.
Nah,
not at
all.
And you could tell they weren't tripping.
Well, that's the thing is like, you know, we'll give you some. I mean, it's Eli Manning. He's playing some of the best football in his entire career right now. You know, he's an elite quarterback in the league. You know,
definitely.
He's gonna get his yards. You know, they're gonna get some plays. But what Niners do the best, or like did really really well yesterday, is that, you know, they gave up their plays. But when you got in the red zone, you get down to the 30, you know, 20 yard line, nothing. Field goals. Giving up field goal. That's like if you give up. You give a team a field goal after they drive. Like that's in my opinion. That defense won that battle.
Yep.
You know.
Definitely. Well, 120%.
And that's what they're doing. That's the bend not break. You know.
Uh-huh. Exactly. And it's working.
No touchdowns, man.
And you saw even as Eli Manning did those two.
And he did have two touchdowns. He did. But the passes and the catches on both the touchdowns
were
pretty. I wasn't even mad. I was just like, oh, wow, you know, respect. Good pass, good catch.
The New York Giants had some great pass plays. Over-the-shoulder catches. Victor Cruz had a couple unbelievable catches. It was a really fun game to watch.
Knicks, everyone.
Yeah. I do want to bring up very first drive, New York Giants. I want to see if you remember this. Dante Whitner rips the ball out of Victor Cruz's hands.
Fumble. That was the stupidest ruling I could not believe that they called that the other way.
Oh,
or that they didn't let us challenge or anything.
No, we challenged.
No. No, oh, no, the rule was they said that you couldn't challenge the play because they said that the whistle had been blown, the play was dead. He was moving. It was like the forward progress had been stopped.
Oh my God! See, okay, I didn't know that because I.
Why? What? You,
I saw it, and then I saw Jim Harbaugh trying to
Harbaugh,
challenge.
Yes, Harbaugh. Yeah.
Harbaugh trying to challenge. God, it's getting me all
every
night
time.
Tonight.
It's you were doing it last week too. I chose not to say anything.
Oh, anyway, it's just. Where were we, guys?
We're talking about the fumble in the first drive.
Yeah,
when we forced that fumble, when he ripped that ball out.
What I saw was Jim Harbaugh trying to challenge, and then I actually changed it. I actually changed it to NFL Red Zone because I was home watching NFL Red Zone.
Tough guy, dude.
Yeah, NFL Red Zone. You know what's up. So I thought, oh, they were going to challenge it. And then I went back 2 minutes later, and all of a sudden they were kicked. It was 3-0.
That's what happened. Yeah, they called. The whistle had been blown. But in my opinion, when I was looking at it, it wasn't even like he was like driving him backwards. He just was tackling him, and the guy was just falling. It wasn't like a normal tackle. He just stripped the ball.
Yeah. No, it was a horrible call. And I was freaking out at that point because I was watching with my brother and my mom and my dad, and – I was just thinking, oh, these refs are probably from New York. They're probably some East Coast biased.
Always out to get us.
Yeah, you know, always out. And our family's always like has those conspiracy theories that like the East Coast is always trying to bash on the West Coast, and no one wants any of the West Coast teams to win.
It's true.
It sometimes feels like that.
It's true.
A lot of the times. Now, a big reason why we won yesterday, and I want to bring this up, and that is 49er Nation. And our fans yesterday, and how much red was in the stands yesterday. I mean,
how loud it was.
Oh, I heard it on the TV, how loud it was. I heard it on the radio for a bit,
on the TV, they turned down the crowd noise.
Yeah. As we were watching on the TV, the announcers were saying, they were like, yeah, earlier in the season when they were playing like the Dallas Cowboys and the Eagles and stuff, or in like our home games earlier in the games, it'd be like 50-50 in the Niners to opposing team, like who's wearing the jerseys and stuff and who's out there in the stands. But yesterday, it was literally 99%
Niner fan
to 1%. There was no blue out there.
No
blue at all.
Yeah, it was Niner us. Every person that they interviewed after the game said that was like one thing they said was the fans were incredible tonight. You know, like playoff atmosphere for
so
sure.
So cool, so cool. The Bay Area is always known for just
good
crazy fans.
Definitely.
I mean, let's go down the list. I mean, SF Giants,
great fans.
I mean, great fans. I mean, one of the best fans I think because we were bad for a long time, and I go to at least 10 to 15 ball games a year.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's packed every single time.
Warriors. Are you kidding me? Warriors sell out, and they haven't had –
Exactly.
We haven't been good. I mean, yeah, we made the playoffs in 07. We were pretty good in 08. That's it. And we still sell out every single game.
For the Warriors, anytime the Warriors are on national television, like ESPN or like a national televised game that's not on like Comcast Sportsnet Bay Area, all the announcers have to talk about is how great the fans are and how loud this place is and how
great.
It's true,
though. And it's like that every single night.
Exactly. And it's great. Let's go. HP Pavilion, San Jose Sharks.
I was going to say the Sharks, as a team, have the most loyal, I'd say the best fans in the Bay Area.
Definitely.
San Jose Sharks fans are very, very good fans. You go to a Sharks game, everybody has a jersey.
Uh-huh.
Everybody knows. It's like all like the little things that, you know, the crowd does, like during the national
exactly.
anthem, you know,
exactly.
all that stuff. Everyone knows that, you know,
it's
and
awesome.
It's
really
you go
cool.
To, you just drive in San Jose and every single person has a label license plate thing that says like go Sharks. You know, it's just
you drive by houses. Almost,
dedicated fans.
Almost everyone has flags that outside their houses.
San Jose Sharks. I mean, and I'm a San Jose Sharks fan, definitely. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I don't bleed Sharks, you know?
Yeah, no,
like,
definitely.
People in San Jose who, like, go to games.
We're way too,
like,
north for that, the San Jose Shark hype.
Yeah, no, I still watch hockey or Sharks games on TV. And, you know, I got my jersey or my sweater.
Okay,
my jersey, my sweater.
Anything that you can rep, I love it.
No, it is a jersey. They call them sweaters. So you don't worry about it. Just way over your head there.
Oh, man. That's right over my head.
All my hockey, all the hockey fans out there know what I'm talking about.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, apparently I'm not
one
of them.
The Sharks are really good with the hockey ball. They're really good with it.
Oh,
moving
yeah,
it around.
That hockey ball.
Yes.
I heard the hockey ball is really hard and it hurts.
Yeah, I can imagine.
In the thighs. All right. Anyway, so
are you talking
we
about,
will.
First, you're talking about, you're saying cute, sexy, talking about my thighs now. What's going on here, Sammy?
I don't know. I'm
talking
sorry.
Talking about all alone, dude.
I'm
kind of creeped out right now, dude.
We're going to have to take a break right now.
And
we
you're
will,
taking a break right now. Wow.
It'll be super quick. I promise. We'll take a quick break. And when we come back,
sorry,
we will
grandma.
Get into some more football talk. We'll quickly get into the decision that Mike Smith made. And we'll talk about we'll get quickly into the Broncos-Chiefs game. I really want to talk about Tim Tebow.
All right. Well,
and that'll be kind of fun to talk about. So stay tuned. We'll take
break.
A quick break. Power Hour, radio.dominican.edu. Of course, this is DJ Sam I Am and Nooch.
Shout
stay
out
tuned.
To Bowman. Shout out to Navarro Bowman, my boy, if you're listening.
Even if I lose you, my ocean never stays blue. Oh no. Every time I feel a star swimming by, my imagination stirs up my soul. And all the worlds around me start to collide, as if everybody lost their control. And deep inside myself I soon realize that my pleasure's controlling me, and without a doubt I feel the sun going out, all its comfort for our humanity. Oh, that's why I wish I could fly above this world. I could die even if I lose you. My ocean never stays blue. Oh no.
Sorry, I was singing to Brian during the break, and he was really liking it.
He's got a marvelous voice.
Welcome back to the Power Hour here at radio.dominican.edu. Of course, this is DJ Sam I Am and Nooch.
What's going on?
Just going to the wee hours of our power hour here. We're going on the last few limbs, if you will say. I'd like to first begin this segment by talking about the Atlanta Falcons and the New Orleans Saints.
Actually,
game.
I actually watched that whole game. I woke up at 10 and
watched both
those games.
Me too. Yeah. It was actually a really good game.
It was that game, and then it was the Bronco, which we'll get into later. Yes. But the Bronco,
yeah.
Chiefs game as well.
It was a very good game. So if you missed the game, it went into overtime, and on the second possession that the Atlanta Falcons had, they were on the 30-yard line, fourth, and not a yard. Inches, literally inches. I'd say less than 5 inches. And it was fourth down, and they went for it. And once again, they were on their 30-yard line. Now, that decision to me, horrible decision.
I'm going to have to disagree with you.
Okay. Well,
you give your
for me,
explanation.
Horrible decision because, one, if you make that fourth down conversion, you're still on the 30-yard line. You're still not guaranteed a score after that. So why not put some confidence in your defense? Drew Brees, yeah, he is a good fourth quarter.
Sure, it was their second possession that they had.
Yeah, they had got the ball first. They punted, gave it back to Drew Brees. Then Drew Brees went 3 and out or got maybe a first down, and then they punted back.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was the Falcons' first possession.
I believe that it was their second.
I believe you because I actually didn't watch that part. I was watching the Niner game
it could have been that.
I think
it was late in the game.
They did switch to Niner.
So I'm just thinking that's some NFL Madden stuff. That's some video game thing, going for it on your own 30-yard line because, like, what happened? You don't make the fourth down conversion. You're already the other team's already in field goal range, you lose automatically. Boom, done. And if you do convert it, like I said, you're not guaranteed. You're still on your own 30. It's a stupid decision in my part. I'd like to hear your reasoning.
All right. Well, first of all, I thought it was on their first possession.
Okay.
But besides the point, I don't mind it. Be honest with you. I mean, you got fourth and inches.
Uh huh.
Your running game's been going pretty decently. You've had a couple fourth downs that you went for in the regular season.
Yep.
I mean, in that regular time.
That's what I mean, in the game.
And, you know, you got them pretty easily, you know. On one, I remember one in particular where it was like fourth and one and Turner picked up 5 or something,
yep.
Right?
Went right through the line.
Yeah,
just burst right through.
Yeah. All right, so there's one. You've done it before. Your line's good. You know your running game's good. Number two, you got Drew Brees. You're playing against Drew Brees.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to give Drew Brees back the football, you know?
True.
And if they would have kicked, I mean, obviously they would have. I mean, they would have been a decent, not very good a field position, but I don't mind it, man. You're trying to win the game, you know? I understand that you got to put it on your defense sometimes, but I thought that I was okay with it because I thought, you know, hell, let's make a statement, let's go for it, let's win this game now, you know? Let's make it happen. Let's put this on the shoulders of our defense, mm-hmm. and win this game, and mm-hmm. that's why I didn't have a problem with it. I mean. You look at the circumstance. I was on 30-yard line. Yeah, I was overtime, but I don't mind it, man. I really don't.
If I
was a Falcons fan, I wouldn't be. I mean, I might be upset that we lost, but I'd understand the call.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Well, another problem I have with that call is. It's just a slap in the face, taking a shot at your defense too. A little bit.
Yes and no.
Now the coach justifiably, everyone could say, yeah, you never know. Like, it wasn't take a shot, but as a defender, you can't tell me that when a coach is saying that we're gonna put this our offense ahead of you, you're gonna take that personally. I know I would, and you know those professional defenders are gonna take it personally. I mean, ask any Falcon defender right now how they feel about not being able to try to stop Drew Brees and make a name for it. They're pretty pissed, and I would be too.
No, I would understand that.
Mm-hmm.
I would understand
definitely,
that. But you got to also, as a defensive player, understand where your coach is coming from. You know, and then know that was not his motive, was to say, oh, our defense isn't good enough to stop Drew Brees, you know? And like you said, he had a quote right here. What's his name had a quote? Was the coach?
Mike Smith.
Mike Smith had a quote. If they can't get half a yard with the game on the line, they don't deserve to win the game. Right. I kind of agree with that.
Okay.
I kind of agree with that.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, hey, it does make sense.
I understand. I understand both sides. Yeah. You know, I definitely understand where you're coming from.
Totally.
But I kind of like the aggression. I like the aggressiveness in there.
Hey, and regardless, you can argue about this point all day,
every day. But you can sit here for an hour talking about this.
You make the decision. If you make it, you're a genius. If you don't, you're a chump.
And that's the thing. And if that would have worked. If they would have got there and they would have gone down and they would have scored, he's a hero. You know?
So it's
fans are loving him. Exactly. Defense is loving him. You know, you gotta look at a decision not solely based off of like the outcome. I mean, obviously you gotta base it on the outcome, but you know what I'm saying?
No, definitely. All right. Well, change games right now, real quick, before we have to go here. We'll get into the Broncos Chiefs games now. Many would say the most boring game in the world. I would say I kind of found it
entertaining.
I mean, even though Tim Tebow was playing, and I hate Tim Tebow, and I'm sure everyone knows that, but
wait,
I mean,
really?
Yeah, I hate Tim Tebow. I really do. But it was a fun game to kind of keep track of, because if you really don't know what happened, there were 55 run calls. So only 8 pass plays the Broncos ran all game. 8 pass plays. Tim Tebow completed 2 passes all game. The first half, he didn't even have a completion. It took him a whole half to even have a completion. And one of his completions was a bomb to Eric Decker, like a 50, 60-yard touchdown pass.
I know.
He had a rushing touchdown and a passing touchdown, and they won 17-3. Those 14 points that won the game. Tim Tebow's 14 points. Now, just an interesting thing that I saw about the game was it was interesting the kind of why they're not letting Tim Tebow throw at all. Like, I kind of related it to, he's a rookie quarterback. They don't really trust him back there, kind of like a Mark Sanchez last year.
He's not that good at throwing the football.
He isn't. But neither was Mark Sanchez. A couple years
ago,
remember?
Mark Sanchez is better than him at throwing the football.
True. But they both suck.
Yeah,
they both are pretty bad.
I think Mark Sanchez is the most overrated quarterback in the league.
Exactly. So I just thought it was interesting that Mark Sanchez had some chances to throw the ball, plus a running game, and Tim Tebow is just a running game. But I guess you can make the fact that Tim Tebow is a running quarterback. Mark Sanchez isn't a running quarterback.
Exactly.
And I mean, Tim Tebow's a running back in my eyes. Who
he's
can
a running
kind of
back
throw
playing
it?
Quarterback.
Who can kind of throw it? You know.
And look what they did. They it wasn't like they were unsuccessful. In the first half, they averaged like 5 yards a carry, and everyone in the entire world knew they're going to run the ball.
Exactly. Exactly.
But that's what.
That's just
you look at it, and that's smart coaching.
Uh huh.
You got Tim Tebow, who's
definitely
not that good at throwing the ball, a great
Smash
competitor,
the ball. Run the ball,
a hard nosed player, can run the ball, is smart, you know. Give him the football in his hands, and that's what they did. They put him back in his college system.
Definitely.
Say run the option, and we're gonna win games. And boom, what they do? They won the game.
Exactly.
And a rival game at the Chiefs.
Exactly. And that's Tim Tebow's second straight road division.
That's
victory.
Huge, dude.
That's huge.
I mean, I got props. I mean, as much as everyone doesn't like him, I got props for Tebow, man.
Yeah.
I know you don't, but dude, give credit where credit's due. Kansas City, ran the ball 50 times and won the game.
3-1 as a starter this year. Boom, he's a winner. Hey, that's all that counts.
So that's good in my book. Whatever.
Well,
I'm still not a fan, but got to give respect. You know, respects due.
Thank you for listening out there. Unfortunately,
big shout out to Ms. Vela out there, Sam's grandma. Thanks for listening every week. We appreciate it.
Love you, grandma.
Love
all
you.
Right, this was the Power Hour. Here at radio.dominican.edu, DJ Sam, I am, and Nooch. Take care tonight. Be safe.
Peace.
Have a great
safe.
Week. See you next week. It's alright.
the same? Do you feel the same as I do? I want to know now, could you leave it all and run with me? Run away from all the pain. Run away from all the shame. Run away from all the games. Run away to keep. Catch up with you.